Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us today. We got nice shows with good friends today. I got to tell you, our good friends from isit.org are here. All right, Susan Gable, who's the director of education and their vice president, okay, of the company. Dean Graziano is here as well. He's in New Hampshire. She's in Erie, Pennsylvania. We'll talk about that. Okay, I'm from Philly, the exact diagonal end of the state. We'll see what's going on, though. I'm talking to you from Maine. We're going to archive this show over at our Equity website, home of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Our newest issue of the magazine is over there. And actually, it's worth it just to go over there and look at the Is It ad, which is absolutely terrific. Okay, check it out. Okay, our magazine is Equity in Access. It's an online journal. It's right there on site. Okay, Is It is a big ad in there. It looks beautiful. I got to tell you, I think I wrote them and told them that, but I'm telling you right now, it's worth checking out. Okay, they're really interested in equity. That's why they're with us. That's why they're members of the consortium. You can be a member of the consortium too. It's free to educators for K-12, pre-K-12. Please go over, check it out at ace-ed.org. I tweet, by the way, over at the EduTalk Radio, and on LinkedIn, it's my name, Larry Jacobs, and Facebook is Larry Jacobs, and Education Talk Radio. Okay, so please follow us, friend us, link with me, and go over to ace-ed.org. Everything you need to know about equity is there. Let's go from Maine. We'll skip over New Hampshire, go say hello to Erie, Pennsylvania. Okay, there we go. Hello, Susan.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
How are you? I'm fine. How's life on the other side of the world, as far as I'm concerned? It's like being in Perth, Australia, or Erie, Pennsylvania. Okay?
Well, it's going well over here, you know? We haven't had too much snow so far, so I count that as a win.
That's great. Did that nor'easter or anything hit you? We had a huge one last weekend here.
Yeah, well, no, we get the lake effect snow. The nor'easters tend to not come in far enough, yeah.
No, we got nailed. Trees were down all over the place. We lost electricity. It was pretty amazing. I'm glad you're okay. And one other thing before I go over to Dean, I love saying this. Susan has been with Is It for almost 8 years. She's their director of education. She taught elementary school for 10 years in Jersey and Pennsylvania. But one other thing, I just love saying this. She's a USA Today best-selling author. I love this. A romance novelist. Tell everybody the name. This is Susan Gable, everybody. What's the name of the book?
A Hero to Keep is the first in the series. So.
What about the second? Do we have a series?
There's a trilogy. It's A Hero to Keep, A Family to Keep, and A Promise to Keep is the trilogy.
Okay. How'd it work out at the end?
Oh, well, they're all romance novels, so they have to have a happily ever after by definition, Larry. They must.
Well, it worked out well.
Rule.
It worked out well for the characters at the end.
Of course, yes.
Good.
Always.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay. Oh, everybody, that's Susan Gable. Dean, have you done anything even near to that? Dean Graziano?
Not in terms of professor writing at all, Larry.
Well,
I know my limitations. When you have an expert on your staff, just makes it easy.
Right. Yeah, it does indeed. Dean's pretty cool. Dr. Dean, because you do have a Juris Doctor, my friend. Okay. And I always say I like to give lawyers their due. Okay. Juris Doctor Dean Graziano. And it's funny, lawyers never call themselves doctor. I think we've had this conversation. You know, they are doctors, but they don't call themselves doctors. They're the only doctors that don't call themselves doctors. That's all I have to say on that subject. Okay. 25 years of educational experience he brings to Is It. Okay. And he's actually won awards from the U.S. Department of Education, the Star of Teaching Award, and in New Hampshire as well. We're going to talk about Is It. Let me spell it. IZZIT.org, which we have all decided here is the best kept secret in education, and we're doing everything we can to get the word out on it. I don't know why this is all great, free, terrific materials. I'll say that again, great, terrific, and free materials for educators. Okay, it's available to you right now. Okay, we want to make sure the word gets out there that you can use it because if you talk, I'll say this right at the beginning. We talk about equity, There is no excuse for not having the best materials for your kids when you can get them free. And these materials exist at izzit.org, I-Z-Z-I-T. Okay. Why has it been such a secret? For God's sake, let's talk about this, Dean. Or you want to shift that to Susan?
Well, I'll take that one. I'm sure Susan will chime in. But I
You'll
think
do
part
it.
Of the – there's so many reasons. I think one of the things that caught my eye, I mean, obviously when I applied for the position – having been in social studies and looking at a myriad of different materials, I kind of took obviously a closer look at it, did my due diligence, and I'm like, why isn't this stuff even more popular and out there?
Yeah.
Well, a little anecdotal of what you had kind of preached us to Kathy Carroll, who is the president of the American Association of School Librarians, and to let you know the follow-up, both Susan and I had a talk with her yesterday, and that was the one question that came out of her mouth. This is great stuff. How come no one knows about it?
Yeah, exactly.
So we had a good
and I did that
our
show with AASL 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And when they actually looked up my two guests, one of them was Kathy, they looked up izzit.org. Well, that's I-Z-Z-I-T. While we were on the air, and they couldn't believe this existed. You may continue now. I'm telling you, this is great stuff.
No,
go ahead, Dave.
No, it's a great show. I'm saying thank you to you because, you know, through that I reached out to her after hearing the podcast, the archive podcast, and Susan and I spoke with her yesterday and kind of laid out a little bit more in depth on it. She had already looked at a lot of the materials, the website. And I think the first thing that for me was this stuff's really no cost. And I guess you step back and go, okay, what's the catch? What's going on here? But in reality, it's, you take a look at izzit.org. It's never been, because it's a 501c, so it's never been like heavily in terms of marketed. That's changing. We have a marketing director, Pagona, wonderful, pushing us out. You're seeing, I think, a surge, if you will, on social media. We're on Twitter, of course, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We're starting to get some things noticed. We have a couple pilot programs that are in different states using just our materials. We're in Georgia next year, so second or third weekend of January. So while I say it's the best-kept secret, I think Pandora's box is open. I think we're really starting to make some strides in having people take a look at it. We're starting to have people drive to the website and say, wow. Teachers' blogs are starting to get out and show how to model and all that. And I think the big thing that Susan will probably jump in on is we have a professional development calendar coming out. So with that, I'll let Susan jump in.
Well, I got to say something first, okay? If you go to izzit.org, okay, it's not Pandora's box. Pandora's box was a world of problems, okay? If I may take my mythology, this is more like rubbing the magic lantern in Sinbad.
I probably should have used that, Larry. You're right.
That better analogy. Better analogy.
Said,
you're not opening
bottle.
A world of problems.
Genie
you're
bottle.
Opening up.
Yeah,
yeah it's the genie's bottle, okay? And to rub it, all you have to do is go to izzit.org, and bang, it opens for you. And I'll say it again. Kathy Carroll, who is AASL, the American Association of School Librarians president, okay, I don't want to say she endorses this. I can't put words in her mouth. But they were amazed at what's available, okay? And she expressed that, I'm sure, to you guys. So I think it's just great. Susan, am I stealing your thunder? The genie's lamp.
I think that was a fabulous analogy because you're right.
Thank
it's
you.
Good things that come out of it, not terrible things. So
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like that one, definitely. One of the things that Dean really hit the nail on the head, we're a nonprofit. And so marketing has been a little, you know, we haven't had as big a marketing push. So that's one of the things that, you know, we're working on. Hey, we're on your show here, Larry. We're trying to demystify us that way to try to get folks to know about us.
And by the way, I think I told Pagona this. Pagona is your marketing person, but your ad, I love that ad. I mean, it just boom. It like booms you when you see it. Okay. So thank you for that. I got to tell you, it's pretty damn good in the magazine.
Well,
Larry, that was
we appreciate
Susan.
That.
Pardon me. Say
it
again.
I'm going to get out a shout for her as well. That was Susan's wonderful writing skills. And, and again, the materials that are on there.
Susan, good job. I mean, it's just a good job. And you know, it's an interesting thing, okay? Nonprofits This is a problem out there for them. They usually do have good stuff, but they're low on the marketing side, okay? And hence the stuff, it's not being used like it should be used. And even though I know you folks have a huge mailing list, okay, what's important, okay, is that a lot of those names probably have been using it for years. There's new stuff out there. You guys are always putting out great new things. Okay,
right.
And the marketing, okay, and you want people to use these. So I agree with you. Thank you for putting some faith in us to help you to market, and we're going to continue to do that because I just think it's so damn important. It's just so important. And, Dean, what you said about, oh, there must be a catch, there is no catch. Okay, but that is in the back of people's minds, I got to tell you. It really is, you know, so.
The only thing that's required there is that when they register and they take a look at any one of our videos, material, that they do feedback, because I think going forward, they've always strived to improve upon what our materials are. In fact, we're doing an audit in which we're looking at some of our supplementals, our discussion questions. Are they up to date? Are they best? So we have kind of an internal improvement process that's taking place now, auditing stuff. As you said, stuff is new. Stuff is changing. The trends are constantly moving. So that makes us a little bit happy that we're getting good feedback from the teachers, the educators, and we take a step back and say, okay, what we're hearing, we're going to try and address in making our product even better.
Yeah, and that's wonderful, because I was just writing down as you were saying that educator needs are changing, okay? And we all know that, you know, we need to think more about equity. We need to think more about racism and how we approach things, if there's an implicit bias in things, if there's a bias in the way we ask our questions, et cetera, et cetera. These things are changing, and this is what educators are looking for, and I'm so glad you guys are constantly checking it out. Susan, on that note, what are you hearing about that kind of thing? What's the feedback coming from the educators that you're hearing from?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I had an email this morning from a concerned current events user who was concerned about our current events today, because the particular source, and we use a wide variety of sources to pull our material from for our lessons, and he considered that the particular source we were using today might be biased. Leaning in one direction. And I wrote him back and I said, you know, thank you for your concerns. We love to hear from you, you know, but the whole thing is you can't just throw out, it's like anything else. Critical thinking implores us to not throw out anything based on one criteria, but to then look further. And as I mentioned to him, you know, people don't consider all of the moving parts that it takes to create, let's even just a simple current events lesson. You know, if we were to say, well, don't use that source or don't use that source, but it's a really great topic. And that's what I said to him. I said, this is a really great topic worth exploring. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, I'm not going to throw out anything all the time. Now, would I make this particular source, you know, like using it 5 days a week? No, absolutely not. But, you know, that so you know, there's questions of bias on all sorts of things, not just about racism, but all sorts of things. And that's one of the things that, you know, our questions are specifically designed to, you know, I don't want the kids taking a bias one way or another, but I want them learning to ask the right questions.
That's right.
And dig deeper into it.
And be able to see the source and understand the source. If you understand the source, okay, the information they're giving you, it might be valid, but you have to understand the source. Okay?
Right, and look at it with that in mind.
Exactly. Because even a unbiased look at the news as an example, but they leave other things out as they edit.
Exactly.
Okay, it's that kind of a...
I don't think you can find...
Yeah.
I don't think you can
unbiased.
Find anything that's unbiased. Exactly,
yeah.
Precisely.
You can't.
Right.
You can't. I took NAESP, the National Association of Elementary School Principals. I had them on the show yesterday, and on their website, they told me yesterday, they have one of these bias tests where you can take the test, and it tells you, you know, about implicit bias within you, so to speak. Okay, it's a psychological test, I guess, and so I took it. I knew the answer. I could have figured the answer prior, but it was the most interesting thing. So if people want to do that, they can do it over at naesp.org. Okay, and it's really fascinating to take a test like that. If you're in elementary school or a principal, certainly you should go over there, okay, and take this test and see where you stand, because they're talking about how does implicit bias work in the school you're running. It was really interesting, okay? It was really, really interesting. You got to know where you are to know how to make the changes, okay? And I just found it unbelievable. Describe, I'll ask Susan again, your director of education. Susan, describe the products to people. So not everybody in the world who's listening today heard us the first time. Okay, so just tell everybody what the products it actually are.
Sure, absolutely. One, as I just mentioned, one of the big things that we offer is our current events program. We have two lessons every school day. They all include vocabulary words and higher level discussion questions. Okay, this is not about rote, you know, find the answer, basic comprehension. This is about getting the kids to think deeper. Now, those can be used as great discussion and debate questions in class, or they can be used as wonderful essay writing prompts. We have a library of educational videos.
You're answering with a little bit of bias there. What format do these things take place in? All the current events thing. Don't assume they know. What are they? Are they videos or are they tests?
Those are actual written articles and written questions. On occasion, we will embed videos that do relate to the topic being covered. So if there is an isit.org video, which is one of our other big categories of products, we will embed those as an enhancement to that lesson. But other than that, it is a reading and, you know, reading type based activity.
Cool. Okay. But not all not all your products are reading based. Am I right?
Correct.
No,
we're very heavily video oriented. As I said, we have a library now somewhere in the area of 67-ish educational units that we call them. And that features a video that usually they run around 15 minutes. There's some of them that go longer. We try to keep them on the shorter side so that teachers can fit them into a class period. And those educational videos also include a full teacher's guide that has discussion questions, vocabulary words, writing prompts, all kinds of additional activities and other lesson plans. And as Dean said earlier, we're working on an audit for particularly the older ones so that we can bring them up to date and up to snuff. The other thing that we have that's video related is we have this fantastic library called Teachable Moments. And those are very short video clips. They run 3 to 5 minutes long, and they focus specifically on a very small subject so that you can zero right in. So let's say we have one on the Munich Agreement. We have one on the Kelo case. We have some science ones as well. So those are our one of the things I did forget to mention is we are now starting online courses. So we have some online mini courses. And again, those cover about a week's worth of material, Larry. And those include text, vocabulary words, essay questions, and video as well. There's video embedded in those as well. And the wonderful thing about those is they're really easy to use whether you're teaching in class or teaching remotely right now. Now,
right,
we are going to be branching out
about?
Into...
What are they about? Susan, the subject matter of the online courses?
The two courses we have right now, Larry, one is First Amendment, which obviously focuses on the First Amendment and the freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment. And the other one we have is called the U.S. Constitution and Black History, which is a really fascinating look at Black history through the lens of the law of the land and how that has changed.
I can hear Dean wants to say something. Dean?
Yeah, I just, I knew you wanted to say
something.
Too,
go ahead.
She had videos. The other piece that I think is really important, Susan, is just she's so knowledgeable. The one piece that's important to get out to the educators, both the certified professional and the family educators too, is the Ed videos come with sub plans. So there's like really no downtime, if you will. So if the educator, the primary educator is out, when she had mentioned the teacher guides, there's also sub plans. So someone filling in, a parent at home, you have some really great ways in which you can introduce the materials to student or students.
It's excellent. And I just want to make a note, you know, we're talking about things that are video, i.e. streaming, okay, mm-hmm. teachable moments, 15-minute lessons, that sort of thing. Again, it's isit.org. But these things are great when you're in class, okay? And I'm going to say something even sillier. They're great for a substitute. If you want to cover a subject and you know you're going to be out, you can get an isit thing for your substitute. But the other thing is this, okay? These days, okay, we're all on, not all because it's hybrid. Some of us are back in class, which is great, but a lot of us aren't, okay? And these videos are very engaging, and they're incredibly useful since we're all kind of on video anyway if we're in the remote learning situation like all of Boston, okay, I might add, okay? And I know not every grade and not every school is remote, but it's important to understand how it's valuable. It's been valuable for years. Now it's really valuable. Okay, it's extra valuable right now. Right, Dean.
Absolutely.
It's so obvious
as we're moving forward with trends. I mean, curriculum, the technology trend. Think about how that's changing, and how teachers were given to the remote, then the hybrid, and what's happening. So, you know, staying up to date and trying to prepare. So any type of situation, face-to-face or, as you said, remote, is being addressed.
Right. It's so cool. And I have to ask Susan something. You said something, Susan. Maybe I misheard you, but I didn't know what it was. You said a teachable moment. I just have to ask, was there a, quote, a Kelo case? Did I hear that?
Oh, yeah, the Supreme Court case, right? Eminent domain with the Supreme Court.
Tell me about it. I'm not sure I know this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to plead ignorance, I think.
So, now, the Kelo case, New London, Connecticut, basically eminent domain, can the government assume or through eminent domain take property if it serves the public good? And the discussion questions really lead to, does government have the ability to do that? I mean, that's my house. That's my side of my yard. You want to do an easement. To get to the beach, and how does that work? So it talks about property rights, rule of law. It gets the students to start thinking. Obviously, the Supreme Court, the Supreme Law of the Land, they've already decided the case, but what's great about it shows students that what does property rights mean? What do, the rule of law, how does that work? And it gets them to start thinking, is that fair? Is that right? You know, what changes? What do we look to in the future? It gives them, I think, a really in-depth discussion where they can take either side and defend it well.
That's right.
That's the wonderful thing. When you talk about bias or unbiased.
Yeah.
I don't want to say there's no right or wrong answer because the case was decided, but really it's great to see the students do some research and dig a little deeper.
It's fabulous.
Well, I think the
Go ahead, Susan. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's one where the Supreme Court really kind of got it wrong. I mean, they got it wrong there.
Yeah,
you're right. They have gotten it wrong in the past.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's part of the whole discussion. But, you know, they truly redefined what the Constitution meant when it said for public use. And basically they said, well, if somebody else is going to pay more taxes on the property, which then pretty much makes. Yeah, there's no equity there then, Larry, right?
Anybody
is at risk of losing their home or their property if somebody else could build something fancier that's going to, you know, pay more taxes.
Bring in more taxes.
Fascinating case.
Yeah.
Fascinating stuff and really great stuff for kids to dig into. I know I hear from teachers on that one, kids get very caught up in the injustice of the concept, you know.
Kids love that kind of stuff. They love that kind of stuff. Okay, I know Dean taught social studies. If you ever teach kids the Electoral College, and you tell them that someone, this obviously it happened just in 2016, but you tell them that somebody can win the popular vote but lose the election, okay? If you watch the kids, their eyes, they're startled. They cannot believe that's our system. Now, of course, they do learn that, in fact, it is our system, okay? But
and why
just,
and why it's our system.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so amazing to see those moments, okay, where kids realize. So, in my opinion, we do get it wrong sometimes, okay? And we need to change,
yes,
and that's why
occasion.
We have a Supreme Court. It's good stuff. I mean, it's really just great. Thank you for explaining that case. I did not know what the name of that case, okay? And I kind of remember that it happened, but thank you. That put that into perspective. I might have been the only one. I must ask you guys something. I don't know. Were you at NCSS last week, the National Council of Social Studies, which was virtual? Did you guys attend in any way, shape, or form?
No, we actually did not attend that one. We did an earlier virtual conference, and to put it mildly, it did not go that well, Larry.
Yeah, and I don't know how things are going out there with the virtual ones. I obviously haven't talked to NCSS. ISTE was also last week. Okay, and I haven't talked to anyone about that yet. So I don't know how they're working out. We're used to one thing. These are major changes. Okay, and I'm just curious if you'd went out there since you guys are so big in social studies. There's another thing, and I want to talk about this. Teachers need to understand, because parents are now much more involved, which is great, unfortunately, due to the circumstances, but great in the end, with their kids' education if their kids are doing remote learning. And I just want you to talk about homeschooling and remote learning and that kind of thing, and how it relates to is it? Who wants to do that? Dean, you want to do that one?
So you're asking the how, because of the situation we're in, the COVID, like homeschooling,
homeschooling in
general.
Actually, there's another side, also homeschooling in general. Okay, because there are kids who are homeschooled. They don't go to public school. They have access to your materials too. Am I right?
Right. Absolutely. And when we first met, again, talked about this is for anybody, any school district, any student, any educator actually can access and chose. I think, in my humble opinion, I don't think schooling will ever be the same. The brick and mortar was already, with internships, mentorships, and apprenticeships and things like that, where students are actually getting outside of the classroom, the four walls. I think the remote learning piece and where we are now, this hybrid or however it goes. So you're watching the national news and it's pushed back to the classroom. We got to get kids back in school. And I think, yes, to some extent that'll happen. But what's that going to look like next year, the 21-22 school year? I think there's going to be a hybrid. And what's great about the materials and going back to it is, if a parent, a homeschooler, a family educator, or a professional certified teacher, go to visit.org. It's laid out, or the materials are available, yes, to everyone. But more importantly, anyone can look at these materials and get support. And I think that's the bigger piece here, is that if I'm looking at it and I take a look and I'm Uncle Dean, who's got my two nieces and I'm now teaching, for example, I can go to this site, take a look at it, register, get access to material. I'd understand something. I have recommendations. I can go to the Is It News, and there's a teacher's blog, how to model our stuff. I think because family educators may decide this may be more likely than not what's going to happen, we have professional development to address those needs. So whether you're face-to-face in the classroom or remote, Larry, I think the great thing is you can pick up a phone and talk to someone who really knows our library at isit.org in Pennsylvania. It's either probably going to be Susan, Marley, myself, April, Rachel, whatever. I think that's a big thing for any educator, whether they're the professional certified or not. If you're in the classroom, you can call, get some advice, how to use this, et cetera. If you're a family member who's now in charge of the teaching piece, you know, in collaboration with a regular school teacher, you still have access to give us a call and see how to use our materials, what might be a suggestion moving forward. I think that's going to become the world we live in, is that people are going to be looking for those additional resources to either supplement with a skill gap that we have. Remember, vacation, summer vacation is an vacation from learning, and you go into the next grade, like a month or two of review because of the loss. That gap, I believe, is even getting greater over the summer. So what's great is, you know, for the homeschooler or for the student that's home this summer, we're going to be putting together some summer packets and some materials for that as well. So we're really going to address those things that parents have to try to, like you said, spice it up. There's way too much screen time for the students. So our materials might be something where you take a discussion, do a journal, start working on some writing skills, and that's one of our professional development topics for next year, is improving writing through discussion questions.
Oh, that's great.
And doing, like, journal and so forth.
That's great. That's great. And I have to say, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. You know, it's products like these, and teachers have been lax to use these because a lot of them weren't there, okay? But as it has been, this is a great way. I had never thought about this before, just in general, to stop the summer slide, okay?
Yep.
If you can say to the parent, look, this is let's do 3 days a week, 15 minutes a day. That's all we're asking. Your son or daughter will be so much better off. Okay, if they can do this, and you make them do it, even if there is no school, it's, yes, summer vacation, I know, okay? But there's a summer slide, and let's not get into the horrors of summer vacation, okay? The point is this is doable, and it's doable anytime. I like that point, something I hadn't actually thought about before, but this is good. And by the way, I just want to ask, do we have to call you Uncle Dean? Dean?
If you feel good about that, Larry, I don't mind.
Okay,
proud
good.
Proud uncle of three and a
nephew, so. Yeah, I just wanted to ask. And by the way, you brought up one other good point. If somebody calls, is it, okay, they will get an actual human being right on the phone. It won't be like this long phone chain, and you'll be talking to somebody in Thailand.
They're
correct.
Gonna,
right?
It's just close to Thailand. It's Erie, Pennsylvania, just close to Thailand.
Right. Or
closer than here.
I pick up the call.
Right.
So absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of those, is it reps, if you will, in each of their positions would be able to readily give suggestions for our library of resources, reset passwords, anything that could come across. More importantly, the, hey, I got this. Is there anything else that I could use? If we go into that summer piece, we'll have those recommendations already made. So it's not just about the slide. It's also about keeping them up to snuff 20, 30 minutes a week, if that, with study skills, you know, the writing, the research, and things like that. So thank you for kind of underscoring that. I appreciate that.
Well, it's important. And you mentioned this a minute ago. You said professional. I just want to ask you as we wind down here. Professional development. Then you said you're going to do writing. Okay, is writing for educators? Talk about your professional development, what you're thinking in terms of professional development. Just go over that, Dean Susan, whoever wants to do it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Real quick, we felt that professional development is important for everything. That's, you know, honing your skills, the practices to better, like, a classroom experience. Here's the key for both you, the educator, and the student. That's really what good professional development is. It's the collaboration. It's learning from each other. That it's not just a one and out. That it's a process. How do we keep, as educators, we're all lifelong learners, right? We look for best instructional practices, strategies, trends, etc. So our thought process for the professional development piece will have different audiences. So the first one that we're doing is for the professional educator, inspiring curiosity and self-directed learning, modeling our stuff, modeling. Here's some suggestions. There might be one, and hopefully as we get the vaccine and we move forward to some sort of hybrid face-to-face and we can get out to schools and things like that, or Zoom. It's those kinds of things, like building critical thinking in the classroom to teachers, administrators, utilizing educational resources, hours, in a myriad of schedules. How do you use our stuff in a long block versus an alternating schedule? So we kind of laid out some ideas that we think would address what people are asking us. So we're just putting or applying to a professional development. But, you know, ideas for improving writing, utilizing is it.org discussion questions along with your student and pertinent schoolwork. That's a great thing for the summer. Things like that, the civility and respect, the equity piece, raise praise, minimize criticize, dealing with varying viewpoints in an environment of civility and respect, as we're seeing what's happening almost daily. That's going to be a PD. And I think what you kind of talked about is that IZIT is more than happy to partner. So it's the team collaboration with a student's classroom teacher. We're not assuming we're the substitute for. We're saying, here's some great stuff. Please use it. And really drive home those powerful learning opportunities with our materials that may help supplement or provide a homework piece for that. So that's really that equity piece of really meeting the needs of a diverse student population anytime.
The equity piece is to me is so simple with what you do. Your products are high quality, that's A, but B, they're free. Okay? So there's no excuse for not giving every student the opportunity to use high quality products. Every school can afford free. Every district can afford free. Every library can afford free. And it's not free junk. It's free high quality. Okay? So there's no excuse. Okay? It's that simple. And that's when you can get something to all students. Okay? That's the beginnings of equity. That's the beginnings of accessibility. And I think it's just access to learning. And that's why it's so darn important. Next time we do a show, can you guys bring on one of your educators, one of your favorite people that's using the product?
I'm sure we could do that. That would
be
great.
You find somebody for me. I want to talk to I love having social studies teachers or any teacher, but I love social studies teachers on. Okay, so we'll do that next. Thank you both. Take care. I won't talk to you before, so have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Happy.
Thanks,
Larry. Happy Hanu Kwanzaa Mass.
There you go.
There you go.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Okay, Dean Graziano and Susan Gable, two great people from IZZZZIZZIT.org. If you don't go over there and check this stuff, this is social studies, anything you can think of, financial literacy, social studies, civics, discourse, et cetera, grade 6 on up, please go over, check it out, IZZIT.org, and look at their ad in our magazine over at ace-ed.org. Inequity and Access. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Share this with your friends, okay? It's good stuff. All right, my name is Larry Jacobs. Thank you, Izzet. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Larry. Bye.